And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
DVR, how come we never talk about Stephen Kwan? Hey, and welcome to your favorite... Hey, happy Greek Independence Day, everybody. And hello, and welcome to your most favorite show ever. It's Under the Radar! With me, as always, my friend and yours, Derek Van Riba.
Good morning.
And second week in a row, Ariel Cohen's back.
No.
Could have been.
No, I'm back. Thank you, Ariel, for covering for me last week. But no, I am back from a very, very, very long holiday trip to Costa Rica, where I drove literally around the country. And stories for a lifetime, I'll tell you that.
That's pretty, I mean, I thought you were just going to come back and be like, hey, I'm well rested. Let's do the show. And before the show, you're like, first of all, we're not doing anything that Nando had planned. Secondly, I got to tell you a story about my vacation.
Steve Cozzolino sends you a list of what are Ian's guys. Am I right that these are Ian's guys?
He didn't say, there was no question mark.
Oh, okay. These are Ian's guys.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the GDD draft is
It's
Monday.
An auction. If people want to upbid you by a dollar, I mean, like, you know, like,
yeah,
don't you?
But.
I thought you were stronger than that. I'm sorry.
Nah, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
I mean, that's all right. We got a backup rundown. Don't worry about it.
Okay, as we go. But you throw them in as you will. I was just last night. I was looking at the rundown and seeing nothing, and so I just threw like 13 things, you know, 14 things in there.
That's my bad.
I've been thinking about over the course of the last 2 weeks and not being able to talk about it. I was literally out of this world. Let's put it that way.
Sounds like Ian was doing a lot of drugs on vacation. DVR, how are you doing? Hey, DVR, how are you handling the loss to CBS in the brackets? You okay with that?
Sure.
I think there's a bit of Schadenfreude for me and Ian that rates and barrels. So did I.
I voted for rates and barrels on both my fantasy baseball account and my personal account. So no, I was a little disappointed. I felt like, but you know, CBS does it 5 days a week. They're great over there. They do a great job. The baseball pods is always. Chris is great. Great that he does it. But, you know, I didn't want us to do it. I spent enough of my life auditioning for people or asking them for stuff. I don't want to ask for votes. I don't want to do that. And you could just let it go. But it's like, did I get the job? Did I get the job? I was like, I'm not doing that anymore. So if you were looking for us, you can blame me because obviously not DVR had no problem with it. Nando doesn't care. He's like, whatever. I don't care.
I'd rather throw my weight behind rates and barrels. I wish came out before the final day.
That's true. We might have been able to turn the tide. But look, Frankie Stampfl is an old friend of ours, man. So, you know, and DVR and Eno are amazing. And Britt, they're amazing. They get, you know, it's great. Everybody wins.
DVR, how are you? Okay.
I'm great.
All right. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the backup rundown. Before we do any of this, I guess since we're wide open now, I got a problem I want you guys to help me out with. I got to submit my keepers tonight for an American League only.
No. We've talked about this. We don't advise you on your roster anymore.
No, we do not advise you on anything.
We don't want AGM credits.
Nope,
no.
Nope. There's no upside. There's just no upside.
The upside is you help a friend who's got a dilemma. No. Who might be missing something here.
We do it off air. No.
All right,
for the
listeners, here's what I'm going through right now.
Sure. Go ahead.
I've got a team. It's Keep Nine. It's American League only. It's 5x5. It's the only funky setup on here is that there's no bench. So you have all your players, and if someone gets hurt, then you can add someone on the waiver wire. But it's, you know, everyone who's on your team is starting, basically. But you do have almost like unlimited minor league spots. There's a 2-round draft every year, and you could trade other teams, you know, for the draft picks and stuff. So I inherited a team that was not good, and we're getting there. But so anyway, so here's the thing. I got a $10 Michael Kopech.
Yes.
So I thought that's pretty good. And so if you add someone in season, they're automatically $10. That's why they're going to be a lot of $10 here. Nestor Cortez was 10, Michael Kopech's 10, Tristan McKenzie's 5, Frankie Montas 11. And then I got DVR's boy Joe Ryan at 10. I got Tariq Skubal at 11. And I got Shane McClanahan at 10. I can only it's stacked, right?
That's not bad. It's not bad. I like that. I like almost all of that.
Well, the four I'm going with are Cortez, Kopech, McKenzie, and Montas. And I don't think I'm keeping McClanahan.
Why? Why? All right, do what you want. It's like, it's, you know, do what you want.
What would you do?
I would keep McClanahan. DVR.
Who'd you keep him over, though?
Here's a broader bit of advice. Nando, I would help you carry a sofa sleeper up 10 flights of stairs. I'm not going to answer your question directly. I'm going to answer your question for everyone. If you have a group of keepers who are very similar in price and what they can do, in this case, we're talking about starting pitchers, I think you can break the tie by taking something as simple as the NFBC ADP report and just looking to see if anyone pops above the others and make sure that you prioritize keeping those players over the others so long as age isn't a huge factor. I think you can do that, and I think you'll find a clear answer of the four players you should keep in this instance.
I think that's really good. I think my favorite part of that is that it's not just a couch, it's a sleeper couch. And if anyone has tried to carry a sleeper couch up and down the steps, as I have in my life, that's one of the worst experiences you can have carrying something up and down steps.
It's awful.
Awful.
The worst.
The worst. It really is. It's worse than because you've got the couch, right? But then you've got this thing that's slipping and you don't want to break. Oh, it's the worst.
Extra heavy, and it's trying to like eat you as you carry it.
Yes. 10 flights he'd be willing. 10 flights. I was starting to break, but I think I'm back with DVR on this one. 10 flights? Wow.
It went so poorly for us last time that we gave Nando serious advice. I can't give him true counsel.
When did you mess up? Well, outside of the Chris Sale thing.
See, but this is the thing. That's us messing up. See, this a thing. So that brings me
you
right
guys
to
You guys have created this we're messing up thing.
That brings me right to Jack Flaherty. I just want to say to everybody who drafted Jack Flaherty based on our conversation about Jack Flaherty, I'm sorry. And I'm suffering it too because I think I got him at like 108 in TGFBI, maybe a little lower. I don't remember what it was. And when we went into a whole talk about, hey, Jack Flaherty. And then I saw his arm is broken. I mean, not broken, but like he has a shoulder problem. And I just want to say, you know, like that's one of those examples where it's like, damn, dude, I listened to Ian say Jack Flaherty and I went and grabbed him. And so my apologies on that. I'm sorry that it worked out like that. That's it. That's all I want to say.
I think we all kind of got stuck there.
Yeah. DVR, did you get any Jack Flaherty stuck?
Yeah, I think it was TGFBI was when I got Flaherty.
Same. That's where I got, that's the only place I have Jack Flaherty, but it's gonna hurt. Although I did get Ohtani with my first pick, so I'm going to put Ohtani into my rotation in that first week, which I'm sort of excited about.
Hey, how come more people are talking about Jackson Coar?
I think you talk about him a lot. DVR, what do you think of Jackson? I'm not even going to try. What do you think of him?
I think something has to go right with the Royals rotation if they're going to be a lot better this year, and he's one of those somethings that could go right, but we talked about Carlos Hernandez as the guy that we really like
Can we talk about him, Ian? Is that okay?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, so I just want to because he's one of your guys. Yeah, I don't know if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. You can. It doesn't matter. GDD, God bless GDD, and I love GDD. It's a great league, but it's not. You know, it's fine. Yes, go ahead. Ask me about any of the guys that Steve Cozzolino says are my guys, and I'll be happy to say, yes, these are my guys.
DVR, sorry, I cut
before you off. Before I draft against Steve Cozzolino. That'd be fine. And the rest of the people who are in that league. But I mean, actually, it's okay.
So I think with Coar, it's more likely that he's an efficient back-end starter than some kind of fantasy ace in the future. I think expectations got a little high because he started the season on fire at AAA last year. And even when he went back, he wasn't quite as good as he was before he debuted with the Royals. The debut, throw it out. I mean, he was having issues getting the ball to the plate. It was that bad. But I think projections are probably skewing unrealistically high because of how bad the debut was. But I think if you're expecting a low fours ERA and a 120, maybe even a 130 sort of whip with a decent number of innings, that'll play in deeper leagues. I think he's more of a streamer and spot starter in a lot of mixed leagues.
Man, I was thinking better numbers than that. I think he's got some potential. I mean, he's been great throughout his minor league career, and they're raving about him in spring training.
I think the thing that concerns me with Coar is that it's the changeup is his best pitch. So it's fastball changeup, and we're still Still waiting to see if he gets a breaking ball that he has a lot of confidence in that he could throw more often. That's the other missing piece for him, potentially.
All right. I'm in the middle of a score sheet draft, and I got him at the top of my queue. And I'm just wondering if I'm missing something. Like, I love him. Like, everything I look at him, I'm like, wow, this guy's great. This guy, they're talking about him a lot. Mitch Keller just went. That guy is the king of all buzz this preseason. But I'm looking more like Jackson Cower. Like, you know, he's probably going to make that rotation. He's probably going to.
What about Merrill Kelly, who yesterday, I think, or yesterday or the day before, struck out, pitched 3 innings and struck out 8 guys? Is that right? Is that what happened?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly did that. Good. Someone else did that, too. Someone had 7-3. Who was it who had 7-3?
I don't know, but let me just see if it was.
Hold on, I know Herc texted me about it. Mackenzie Gore.
No, did he?
Mackenzie Gore's been on fire this spring.
You know, that's fun. I have Mackenzie Gore exactly.
No, I'm sorry, Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert did it, but
that's
Mackenzie
right.
Gore.
No, I did see that Logan Gilbert did that.
But Mackenzie Gore also had like one of those 7-3 performances.
Did he? That's cool. I'm rooting for Mackenzie Gore. I don't own him anywhere, and I'm still rooting for him. I really am. I think it's going to be. I'd love to see that come back. I loved his setup. I just do. It's very Clayton Kershaw to me, or was back in the day.
By the way, let's get into Ian's rundown because you have some stuff on here that I'm very unfamiliar with. And we'll start with Highlander Dynasty. By the way, are you ever going to update your Dynasty ranks before the season starts or no?
I don't know, man. I should try. It's a little things maybe end of tight April. These days.
Maybe end of April.
Yeah, so but maybe before that.
Well, end of April will be good because people like your theory that people should trade early if they know they're not going anywhere and get
true.
The best value. That could be a helpful guide.
That's true. All right. Maybe that. All so right. The Highlander Dynasty Invitational is this awesome thing that Brett Sayre and James Anderson and Jesse Roach started with me. I got a call about it.
Just in case you're going to leave yourself out.
Well, no. What I want to say is Brett came up with the idea. Then James kind of helped him do the rules. And then they reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to play in it? And I was like, sure, of course. I definitely want to play in it. And Jesse Roach also. And it was like, hey, let's create this thing. And so we kind of became a board for Dynasty League. So it's sort of like, hopefully one day we're going to have a number of Dynasty Leagues, which is actually now the plan. And so there was this big kind of push reaching out to everybody in the Dynasty world. If you want to apply to be in this league, which was amazing. We got 125 applicants for a 20 team league. So many good people who I know personally that did not get into this by the skin of their teeth, and they can't even know by the skin of their teeth, but by the skin of their teeth did not get into this league. And I was in Costa Rica, so I couldn't even call everybody. I just got back late last night. So
you look great for someone who's been traveling.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, right. Exhausting trip, but awesome and great and life-changing, all that great stuff. But so it's now in the 8th round, I think. I've been following it pretty closely. It's been amazing to watch. And I am not in this league because I was in Costa Rica the entire time. Like, you guys were texting me. I didn't even get most of those texts until I would get to like a place that had service because I was in Costa Rica. I don't know if I've said that. Sure.
Whatever you say, friend. You weren't getting texts. Yeah, because it's, yeah. This isn't 1997 with Nokias. Like, we know you got our texts.
No, dude. I was, so here's what I wanted to say about that Highlander Dynasty Invitational. So all of these great players, and I'm actually not even in the league, and I'm going to be starting a new league. The one that we've been talking about, on the show for years, like, how are we going to build the perfect league? I'm hopefully going to do that through, that's the plan, is that I'm going to do next year a league through the Highlander Dynasty Invitational, which will have slightly different rules than this original league. So it's pretty exciting. It's a great group of people to be able to work with. James and Brett and Jesse on kind of putting this league together has been awesome. And so that's it. And I'm kind of, I'm sad that I'm watching these results, but there was a time where I was on the clock and the Devil's Rejects and the clock got down to 20 minutes from 4 hours. And that was a pretty good indication. And these guys did 8 rounds in the last 3 days. We'd be through 4 rounds if I was in this league. So anyway, just giving love to the Highlander Dynasty Invitational. Please give them a look on Twitter. Give them a follow. And we send out updates all the time about the league. That's it. That's what I wanted to say about it.
Had you thought about doing a relegation league of 20?
Well, see.
With the leftovers?
See,
I think that would be cool.
Look at you. Yeah. No. That's kind of, I mean, it's a board, so we all have to discuss, but I have this plan for a relegation league for next year. That I'm excited to, but you know, we got to work it all out together the way that we worked out these rules together. We got to work out the next year's rules together.
Right. Cause I mean, a relegation league is still a fun league. It just, I mean, it had made up prestige to be in the top one, right? Like it's,
well, no,
you got the same rules, the same players. You're still playing the same rules.
No, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to put, so like this league is an average league, and it's a draft. One of the things that I want to do, again, nothing's been decided, is I really want to do an auction league. I've been talking about doing an auction dynasty league forever. I want to do an auction dynasty league, and I do have a relegation idea that I want to throw around, but I can't just kind of spill it all here right now.
Yeah, Steve Cozzolino might be listening.
That's right. Oh, Steve is listening, and he's making notes. And then right before the draft saying, hey, these are Ian's guys, talk about them. And I'd be happy to talk about them. I really mean that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
DVR, how come we never talk about Stephen Kwan?
How come I never talk about him, or just people in general?
Well, you know, like the more you read, the more you see stuff, the more you read Twitter, you see these names that are just popping up kind of with a little bit more frequency than everybody else. And Stephen Kwan's a name I've seen like some people plant their flag in, you know, that people have written about him in some of their columns. Maybe we could turn the show a little bit into the guys we haven't talked about, because Stephen Kwan, I'm liking more and more the more I look at him. And so we have this beat writer roundtable coming, and we asked him a bunch of questions, and it's really good. And there's some really good answers in there. And one of the, we had who's asleep, you know, who's a guy below 300 ADP? What's the closure situation? Whatever, whatever. But then we asked each team a very pointed question about someone on their team they cover. And we asked Zach Mizell about Stephen Kwan, and he had some really good things to say about him too, in terms of what the organization thinks about him. So that'll be coming like on Monday, I think, Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, do we like him? Are we fans of Stephen Kwan?
Yeah, I don't really see a reason to look at that profile and think that he can't have some kind of significant role in the Cleveland outfield. I think in a strange way, Stephen Kwan might be one of the biggest threats to the Miles Straw is going to lead off for the Guardians' hopes, because there's a good walk rate. There's a very low K rate. There's a little bit of pop. There's also some speed, right? So if Kwan can hold down one of the corner spots, he could be very high up in this order, and he doesn't necessarily have to be at the bottom if Straw's the leadoff guy. They could use Kwan either as the two hitter, or they could use him as more of a run producer behind Ramirez and Reyes, and we'll see what they do with Bobby Bradley. So I think he's going to end up in a good lineup spot with a clear path to playing time, at least against righties, and maybe he'll get some chances to hit lefties as well. The K rate is so good. So would you good. Not give him everyday opportunity?
That is like Wander Franco good. 31 strikeouts and 341. I've been looking at their roster resource, and 36 walks and 31 strikeouts is pretty darn impressive. It really is. And that's like DVR just said, that's the danger about a Miles Straw kind of play.
Oh, I thought you were going to keep going.
No, that's it.
No. You know, you're off for one weekend. We miss all your intonations and your pacings.
Yeah, that's my bad. Yeah. Sorry.
So I'm going to read to you what Zach said, because it's going to be in The Athletic anyway. And, you know, people who are listening who might not be subscribers, here's our gift to you. They really like Stephen Kwan. He's going to get an opportunity, too. You might have to wait until late April or May, though. All he does is make contact. If he strikes out, Earth stops spinning on its axis. They have so many players they need to learn about this year, so I'm not sure how consistently he'll find his name in the lineup, but he seems like a guy poised to post a 280, 335, 400 slash line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it, actually. I'm looking at it and wondering, because Brad Miller signed with the Rangers. What does that Guardians lineup look like right now?
I guess you got Straw and Rosario up top, right?
Yeah, now they're talking about Rosario maybe playing some outfield again, which feels a little dangerous. But Jimenez is in the lineup every day.
He played a bunch of outfield last year.
Yeah, but it didn't go very well. But yeah, so Stephen Kwan is in as the starting with him with Mercado. It looks like that's going to be what the it's going to be that kind of a platoon.
This is a, dare I say, okay lineup, and they have a good. They have, I would say, good rotation, and their bullpen is stacked with a capital S.
I actually don't like their bullpen as much as you do.
Yeah, I don't like their bullpen.
You like Clay's, Karinchak, and Ghost, like right at the end. Boom, boom, boom. Like that's...
Well, Karinchak's hurt. Ghost might be good. That would be fun. Class A is great. I like the rotation. I really do. I like the rotation a lot. How many games can they win? How many games can the Guardians win?
We actually got into this on the podcast yesterday. Bets on the board.
Yeah, best on the board.
Yeah, I know. It was 74, I think. 74.5 they might have been.
They were a pretty low over-under total. That division is getting better, and I think their margin for error injury-wise with pitching might not be as much as it previously was. Cody Morris is down with an injury right now, too. I like Morris a lot. I think he's kind of a key for them in that rotation eventually this season, so I'm really curious to see what the timetable ends up being for his situation, but it's a shoulder injury. Bieber got knocked around in the first start of the spring. It's not a reason to completely abandon hope for him, but it wasn't encouraging given that we barely saw him at the end of last season. I see plenty of things that can go wrong. Nando's got the very optimistic view here. I don't know if I like these platoons all that much. You know, I think everybody on this show likes Bradley Zimmer more than I do. Mm-hmm. I think we all like Stephen Kwan a little bit. I'm not sold on Andrés Giménez. I think the bench guys are so-so, like Yu Chang, Owen Miller, Oscar Mercado, maybe Owen Miller something. I'm not really that excited about Mercado at this point.
Mercado's the guy I think I'm most excited about. Yeah, something happened with Bradley Zimmer where I went off him, which was I saw him swing at a pitch that was about 4 feet outside, literally 4 feet outside. And I watched this swing like five times in a row, and he was so far away from the ball. It was like when I used to coach baseball and there was a kid who would swing at a pitch that was like 10 feet outside. And you're just like, yeah, all right. There's only so much you can do here. That's kind of how I felt watching Bradley Zimmer. And I can't get that image out of my mind.
That's a tough one. You got to go to Baseball Savant and click the home run button to get a home run video. And then you'll feel better about Bradley Zimmer again.
I'll feel better about the whole thing. I'll definitely.
The secret.
Can I ask about Shane Bieber, though? I just don't get it. And everyone is drafting him high or trading for him in dynasty leagues, and I'm just not touching him with a 10-foot pole. Like, I just, and again, it's one of those situations where I may not be on a guy that it would make sense that if he comes through, it's awesome for him, right? Go get him. So Shane Bieber, not one of my guys, clearly. But DBR, what is it that you like about this situation? I just see a guy who I think is going to struggle again.
For Bieber, what do I like about his situation?
Yeah, like people drafting him at like the end of the second round, it just feels like coming off an injury. Why would you take him ahead of, I don't know, almost anybody else who was better last year?
I can't justify it right now. I know it's silly to say that if he comes out and has three really nice spring outings between now and opening day, that could change things. But if he's going at the end of round two in redrafts, the opportunity cost, the quality of the players you're passing up on, you're either passing up on the elite closers that could be there, right? If you're thinking Hader or Hendricks, if you don't think that's too early for them, or you're passing up on some elite bats in that same range, I'd rather have the other thing than have Shane Bieber in a snake draft situation. I think in a salary cap open player pool, maybe it's a little bit different. The only place where I've got a Bieber decision to make is a keeper league. And I picked him at the end of last season, and he's discounted somewhat relative to what he'd go for if he were available.
$22, right? So, right? That's what he's going to be, $22?
Out of a 260 in a situation where we have pretty bad inflation. So he's an easy keep there.
He's an easy keep.
But he's not an easy keep where I'm looking at him and saying he's a $40 guy this year. I'm looking at him saying, oh, he might just be a $25 guy this year, and I might be only making a little bit, relative to previous expectations. But the chance that he gets right is high enough for me to hold him and see what happens there. I obviously would, like any situation, listen to trade offers. But the redraft problem is almost more about where he's going in this moment and just the nature of having to make a difficult choice about a guy that just hasn't thrown that many innings since the middle of last season.
Nando, what do you think?
I don't want to read from the book of Zach Mizell too many times on this show, but I was pro Bieber before, and I'm very pro Bieber now after reading his take on it. It's very positive.
What does he say?
I was trying to stall. I was hoping you wouldn't ask that, because I got to pull the sheet open again. For me to go, I got to go to the Slack. I got to go to the sheet. My bad. I'm confusing Bieber with DeGrom. I'm confusing him with Tim Britton and DeGrom.
Okay, yeah. Well, DeGrom, I mean.
So the exact question was, on DeGrom. If you could scream for fantasy players to, and this is all in caps, please take this player in your draft. You'll thank me in September. And it could be anybody, a reliever with more velocity, a hitter who had LASIK, someone hitting atop the order unexpectedly, anything quirky or interesting. Who on the team you cover would it be? And Britton wrote a great paragraph on Jacob DeGrom that made me feel wonderful and actually got me on DeGrom where I hadn't been before.
Look, Buck Showalter called DeGrom, said something to him, I was looking this up, trying to find it, said something to the effect of, he's got great eyes and a wonderful face, and people are making fun of him for that. Right. Like, well, what does that mean? That's what I'm looking for, is a guy with great eyes and a good face.
that's understatement of.
No, that's that, like when I read that, I was like, I know exactly what he means. And I love that he said that. And then I like looked at a picture of DeGrom. I was like, God, that guy's got a great face. Those are really great eyes. He's like because he's fully confident and comfortable on the mound. Watching Jacob DeGrom pitch when he's pitching for one of your teams is really fun. Really fun to watch. Because he's got, great eyes and a great face.
This is. Did you go back and look up more Buck Showalter quotes? But this guy's speaking to me. Like this is Buck Showalter no, and I on the same wavelength.
But definitely on the DeGrom thing, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Showalter, Clint Frazier, knucklehead. I bet you that's in your Google search history.
No,
obviously when you got on the airplane out of Costa Rica.
Speaking of, no, the airplane had no internet either, which was really annoying. The knucklehead that I drafted was an NL tout this past weekend, and I got Clint Frazier, and I had you in mind the whole time, Nando.
I'm touched.
I got him for, I think, $3 at the end of the draft.
End
of the auction. Yeah, yeah, $3.
And this is OBP, Tout Wars is all OBP now, right?
Yeah, all OBP, and I got him for $3, and I got Victor Robles for $3 at the end, too. So
that's DVR guy. Hey, you got one for each of us.
I got one for each of you.
I'm kind of on Robles. I'm very much on Robles, actually, at his price.
I mean, it's $3 and an only league? Victor Robles? DVR, what did you were covering that, right? You were doing that for, were you doing the Zoom of it, or you were doing Sirius? What were you doing on that?
Yeah, I was doing the Zoom, which at the end game, it's very hard to keep up because the pace speeds up a lot. But I like both of those players at that range because, I mean, with Frazier, even though the depth chart has become a little more crowded with the Cubs, if he hits, he's going to play. Like there are guys that you can see on that depth chart, I think like Wisdom and Schwindel, that they move around a little bit or at least had a share of DH playing time that could evaporate pretty quickly if they want to prioritize Clint Frazier, which they should. He's a barrel machine when he's healthy and he's showing great plate skills. So I think he's exactly the kind of guy they want to play. Robles, I'm clinging on to like the last strands of faith that I have that he could still at least be a viable source of cheap speed, especially in a league that deep. I think I'm not fully committed to saying I'm still drafting him in mixed leagues as my last outfielder. I think it's almost more of a wait and see with the lineup. I think there's a very good chance he is stuck in the very bottom of the Nationals lineup to begin the season, even though there was some improvement in the underlying numbers for him last season.
He's still so young, man. You know, like in football, everyone's like, hey, this guy is only 2 months younger than Sam Darnold. And I mean, maybe that's a bad example, but I mean, like Robles, his name has been bandied about so much. The guy's not even 25 yet.
No, he's 24. I mean, he's young. There's another guy I wanted to ask you guys about. Do you think that Garrett Hampson in an only league makes sense?
Kind of in the same way that Robles does. And I think I could see Robles playing more because of his defense. Hampson's more of a super utility rover type. I think they have similar flaws as hitters. I mean, Garrett Hampson's career line as a hitter now through 1,000 plate appearances, and he's a little older than Robles. He's already 27. He's 240, 298, 383. A guy like that at that age with 1,000 plate appearances starts to play less. I think Nando's point about Robles still being young, and he turns 25 in mid-May, they can justify giving him more opportunities, yeah, even though he's got more career plate appearances in the big leagues than Hampson does.
I'd be more on Connor Joe than Garrett Hampson if you're talking about kind of like fringy bench players on Colorado. But
yeah,
Jose Iglesias is like, as someone who's had a bunch of Jose Iglesias over the years, is like a $1 end game play, you know, to get a guy who's going to hit 280 to 300. He gets hurt a lot. And I remember, I'm a little tired, but I cannot remember the dude who was a shortstop forever for the Rockies who kept getting hurt.
Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah, Troy Tulowitzki. Thank you. So, like, when Tulowitzki was getting hurt all the time, there was some big article somewhere. It might have been, like, Will Carroll talking about, like, soft tissue injuries to people in Colorado, and specifically Denver, the high elevation, affecting them more. And I don't know. I never went back and – like, I know Iglesias has knee issues. I don't know. It just – he might be a little more affected. You could see 80 games out of him, and that would open up a lot of room for Garrett Hampson to play.
Yeah, I also, my thinking on it is, in an only league, if you're only playing 3 or 4 days a week, but you're giving 2 steals out of those 3 or 4 games, I think he brings value. I'm hoping he brings value. This is one of the few picks that I had kind of like, it's in auction leagues, you get blocked in, and that's the one spot I got blocked in on a little bit. And I ended up with my middle infield before the reserves, where I really filled up on middle infield, but I ended up with Garrett Hampson, second base, Gavin Lux. I paid $10 for Hampson. I think that's way too much to have paid. I paid $7 for Gavin Lux at shortstop.
Yeah. And then he's going to pick up outfield eligibility now.
I think he's got outfield eligibility already.
All right.
And then I got Robinson Cano for $1, which I'm actually kind of super psyched about. But those are the only, that was the only place where I was like, I'm not digging how this has kind of come together. And it's the Hampson. So I ended up getting Kevin Newman and Kyle Farmer in the reserves to kind of like bolster that just in case, right? Because those guys, Farmer's going to play because your guy, Jose Barrero, is hurt.
Yeah, it sucks.
He's going to be out for a while. So Farmer's going to get the at-bats. And again, in only leagues, it's all about the at-bats.
Actually, I would like to pose a question to the group. And I guess specifically we'd start with Ian on this one, but with Randall Grichuk coming over after the Tout Wars draft auction, have you like, well, it's, I guess, a two-part question. One, how much do you think out of the $1,000 people are going to empty out for him? Two, will one of those people be you? And three, do you think some people might not be paying attention to when the first fab runs and that'll actually kind of have people missing him a little bit?
Nah, no, but no one in that, but maybe one person will miss the fab. So I don't think that's an issue.
So you think all 15 people are going to bid on Grichuk?
12.
I'm sorry, 12.
No, I mean, I'm not going to bid on Grichuk. He's not going to help me because I don't need him. I mean, my outfield is really full of guys like that. So I'm going to need to invest more in pitching because Strasburg, who I bought for $9 and who I'm really excited about, isn't going to start pitching till May. So I'm going to have to cover that. But also got Jesus Luzardo, Nando.
Oh, $6. That's another one. I love him, man.
Yeah, $6 for Jesus Luzardo, $4 for Taiwan Walker. Lots of little stuff. Nice. I like that Stroman for $12. But so pitching is going to be more, I think, my target than, but I would say Grichuk out of $1,000 probably going to go for 180 to 220.
Oh, I would say three. I was thinking like 375 to maybe even 500.
Do you think so? DVR? What do you think?
In an NL only league, a guy that's going to play a lot in that lineup who does have power. And I think as people were pointing out on Twitter after the trade, Randall Grichuk has held an improved strikeout rate each of the last 2 seasons, right? He's been in the low 20% range after living more in the mid to high 20s for most of his career. He even had a 30% K rate 1 year in St. Louis. So I could see, I could actually see kind of at least splitting the difference, like a high 20% bid at the very least, like 275.
Huh.
I mean, look what CJ Krohn did last year. And I think that's like fresh in everybody's minds. Like this guy who was always supposed to hit, you know, like 40 home runs in his career and either never had the at-bats or got hurt or whatever. Had Albert Pujols there all the time. I think like people are going to be like, well, it happened last year. Like Coors is still Coors, you know?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right here. Yeah, it looks like he's going to have everyday at bats too. Gosh. All right, I'm going to have to rethink this a little bit, maybe.
That's why we talk this out.
Yeah, maybe I'll give you a little Randall Grichuk. It's so weird for me, Grichuk and Stephen Piscotty, because they both came from St. Louis, and they both then got traded like at the same time. And I've always kind of downgraded both those guys. I've never been a huge fan. OBP's not great, 302 on Grichuk, but he'll be playing in a different ballpark, so maybe that'll change things. I don't know. Interesting. I'm glad we talked this out.
Yeah.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruit and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Ian's rundown because there's ESPN friends and family.
I was literally last night. I was like, there's nothing on the rundown. I better put some stuff on the rundown.
I told you. Oh, well, I guess you didn't get the text.
No. What did you say? I've got the rundown?
Yeah, something like I got some stuff for the rundown I'm not going to put in there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Something like that.
Did you?
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah, you were busy.
Oh, Jesus.
That's you weren't getting so service. Crazy.
That's insane. Insane trip. I'm going back to my original redraft league that I started in 2011 before I kind of got it involved with the industry at all. And I just was playing with friends. And then from that league, Marcus Potter brought me into his keeper league, which then brought me into my first dynasty league, which then brought me into the rest. And so there was a spot in my friend, Rabbi Ari Sunshine, who I passed the league on to with Jim Conroy. You know who Jim Conroy is from TD Waterhouse, those TD Waterhouse commercials, the guy with the beard.
He was our auctioneer.
Right, he was your auctioneer. Yeah. So he's like, so tell me about your future with your financial future.
Too much REL in there, man. You got to.
There's a little bit. They have a similar. I can start doing a Jim Conroy sometimes, too.
How many REL impressions did you do in Costa Rica? I'm going to put the over under at 2.5. I think you did at least three.
I was driving 5 hours between one place in Costa Rica and another place in Costa Rica. And the most fun hour of that time was listening to the Under the Radar from last week. I was like, that is a good show. I said to my wife, I was like, you know what? This is a really fun show to listen to. And she was like, yeah, it's a lot more fun than your old politics podcast. I was like, yeah.
Oh, burn.
No, she really did. That's what she said. She was like, it's a lot more fun than the politics one you used to do. Like, I don't know what you guys are ever talking about, but it's fun whenever you play it. Because those guys, Nando and Derek, are really funny. And Ariel really did a great job. So it was really fun. So that's the only thing. Now here was my question, the GDD preview.
You didn't answer the question. He did not answer it, but I could see you being like, well, we go left here, it'll take us 180 minutes. We go right here, it's like 150.
I think he's ordered a drink at a bar as Ariel.
No.
Some insect that he saw. Well, did you know, like, there are 17 different species?
No, guys,
I think it's to avoid being recognized, right? To just be completely, I mean, Costa Rica, that certainly helps, right? You put yourself in a position where you're less likely to be recognized. But I think in order to throw anybody off the scent, he could use that voice.
No, guys, I was just with my sons and with my wife. Like that was, I was as fully like committed to family time. Like it's been 2 years that we've been living in the same place without really going anywhere. Like we've gone, but we got on a plane. We went to a foreign country. It was the drive. I took a drive up a mountain. All right. I'm going to say this real quick, just real fast. I took a drive up a mountain after we get off the plane, 6 hour flight, 2.5 hours in immigration, go rent a car and then drive up the most dangerous road in Costa Rica. And no one freaking told me, going up a mountain with no guardrails, no lights, in the dark, one lane highway. Like it was not a highway. There were dirt roads going up to this place. I was like, what? I literally was like, we're going to die. We're going to die right here. We're going over a cliff with blind spots everywhere. And so, you know, I would tell people, they're called Ticos. People in Costa Rica are called Ticos, right? That's what they call themselves. And so they would say, oh, you're driving. And I say, yeah. And I said, I drove up to Monteverde. And their eyes would get really big. And they go, you did what? I said, yeah, I drove up Monteverde. And they're like, oh, no, not a good road. Not a good road. Should not drive Monteverde. And I was like, yeah, I learned. So, yes, that's why this trip was, it was a ridiculous trip.
How was it coming down?
Well, I spent 2 days like saying to my wife, I was like, I want to give the car back. Let's hire somebody to drive the car back. Let's just get a ride down the hill. And she like really like was like, my wife is very nice. And she's like, no, you are not going to quit. You are getting us down that hill. I don't care. You have two sons who are watching you and you are going to get down that hill. And if you can't get down that hill, I'm going to get us down that hill. So it's up to you. What kind of a man are you going to, I mean, literally, like, what kind of a man are you going
to
be?
And you went, well.
That's what he used to voice for the only time on the trip.
I got $1,000. I was like, it's worth, she's like, we've rented the car for $1,000 for the 11 days. If you give it back, we lose that $1,000, then we're paying another $1,500 to get driven everywhere that we need to go, at least. She was like, man up now. And I was like, okay, I will. And then like, I just meditated for like the next day and a half. And I just rested and I was like, I'm going to do it. And then like an angel from heaven, a giant bus. I got behind a giant bus that I just stayed behind. He kept saying, go past, go past. I was like, nah, I'm going to just stay behind you because there was no cars that could speed up the other way because this is this giant bus. I was like slowly going down that hill. But I drove across this great country of Costa Rica. And I will not be the same for it. I am stronger for it, for sure.
You should get a t-shirt I survived. Oh. I drove up Mount Verde.
No. My wife said, I'm getting you a t-shirt that says, I survived the drive up Monteverde.
Yeah.
Like, even it's not a joke. Like, if you want to take a look, go look the drive up to Monteverde. You'll see. And it was just, there was one moment where I was like, oh my God, there's no guardrail. There is a 1,000-foot drop to my right. If a car comes down the road, I'm going into that car. Like I cannot swerve. And there are blind spots. I was like, this is insane. Are we
nuts? Did you beep at the blind spots as we do in Europe, in Italy at least?
I beeped and I flashed lights and it was dark too. And there's no lights. So it was just, it was really insane. It was, and starting to rain. Oh, no. And then even driving the 5 hours on 32, when I told the woman at the last place and she was like, you drove? I said, yeah, I drove. I took this to Monteverde. Then we went to La Fortuna. Then we went to Puerto Viejo. And she went, you drove on Highway 32? And I said, yeah, it was not as bad as Monteverde. She was like, people die on 32 all the time because of the ditches on the right. I was like, yeah, I was okay without that. She was like, no, very scary. People die. Don't drive. And then she said, you drove in San Jose? I was like, I drove in San Jose. She said, if you drove in San Jose, you can drive anywhere. Congratulations. So I do feel kind of good about it, to be honest, on the other side of it. Back to baseball, GDD preview. I was wondering, DVR versus Frank, because they're both in it, and they were in because of the baseball pods.
And that they don't like each other.
They don't like each other. What's not to like? What's not to like with either of those guys? And then this other thought that I had, I wanted to bring up about Dynasty League and veterans.
They're go ahead.
They're not. People are downgrading veterans too much in dynasty leagues, as far as I'm concerned. The prospect madness is too high. Though then you get guys like Riley Green, who I think are going to be kind of amazing. But I was curious what you guys think about that. DVR, what do you think about the prospects versus veterans in dynasty leagues or keeper leagues?
I've found, especially in the RDI days, that the valuations of prospects were definitely skewing high then. I don't play in any of their dynasty leagues right now. I didn't apply for Highlander in part because I was worried that in a dynasty league, it becomes very difficult for the league to be competitive. We've talked about this on the show before. After a few years, the teams sort of stratify a bit, and there's so few ways to get back. Once, if enough people are building the same way from the bottom, trying to play young, trying to trade for the same prospects, it's just like a horrible path to get out of that cycle.
That's why Brett Sayre created this league, and the upside of the Highlander Dynasty Invitational is because it has keeper stuff. You can only keep three players, and they're pulling players. There's like a Rule 5 draft every year. And if you win the league, you really get penalized in that. So you can't keep all your players. So in that way, it's a little bit different than the old-fashioned Dynasty League for that exact purpose. That's the point behind it. Which is they're trying to keep it, they're trying to make a sustainable dynasty league so it doesn't turn into that.
It's a great idea.
That's why we're doing this whole shebang.
It's a shame we can't be a part of it.
You can be a part of the next one if you apply.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. It was out there.
Yeah, oh, it was out there for 5 days.
Yeah, there were
multiple
tweets.
Some great players didn't get in, and I know that I'm sure that they were like, oh man, but they should know, like they were just right on the edge. People were just right on the edge.
It happens, right?
It does. Yeah. It does. It does.
Let's talk Jorge Mateo. I think that's the Mateo you have in this rundown, right? Jorge
yes.
Mateo?
Yes.
Like we all. I think we all like him, don't we?
Do we? Do you like him?
I don't dislike him, so I guess I'm third in the how much do we like Jorge Mateo standings, but I think there's an opportunity there, and I think he does at least one thing that we really need to find at a discount in the pool this year.
I love Jorge Mateo so much.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I think the Orioles do too, because they're starting him at shortstop. He's gotten more starts at shortstop than Ramon Urias. Urias is getting time at second base. Mateo is constantly at shortstop. He took one, there was one game that he didn't start. In his first game, he singled, walked, and stole a base. And I was just like, all right, that's it. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Jorge. So I love him. I'm so excited about him. I just wish I could take him in the NL only league, and I couldn't. That's all I got to say.
Let me tell you something. Dan Connolly, as part of this beat writer, Dan Connolly's fast becoming my favorite beat writer. Front and back, Slack, helping us out with this stuff. He's very, very positive on Jorge Mateo.
Is he? What is he? What does, if you can. Control.
Oh, come on. All right.
Come on, control Edmund. This is Mateo. It was on the rundown.
Here we go. Slack, yeah. MLB.
Slack, MLB. Jorge Mateo. He's the guy when he was 18 years old, and I was first starting out playing this game that everyone was talking about. He was a Yankees shortstop. And the question was, is he going to hit enough? And then the next question was, can he play shortstop? And the idea that the Orioles have him at shortstop right now, if he plays 120 games, he can steal you 35 bases. And the difference between him and someone else is he'll also hit you 15 home runs. The kid's got pop.
I got some Jorge Mateo cards from last year.
I was just stalling for you, Nando. What do you got?
So this is the question about which player with an average draft position over 300 will break out for the team you cover in 2022. This is Dan Connolly, Baltimore Orioles beat writer. I had to get to 399 before I even saw an Oriole. And so I think there are a few that will outpace the rankings. This team won't be good, but they have some individual talents. The most underrated one that stands out to me is INF/OF Jorge Mateo. He's a former top prospect who has bounced around and not gotten much MLB playing time. Part of that is on him, but part of that is circumstantial. He's been in some crowded situations.
Absolutely.
There's playing time to be had in Baltimore, and Mateo's speed and defensive ability could separate him in the infield, particularly at shortstop. He's still only 26, and if he can hit like he did for the Orioles last year, he could be a regular and a cheap steals option. Dan plays fantasy. He's one of us.
Oh, man. See?
And then he'd double down. Like in the Please Take This Player, You'll Thank Me in September, he'd say, I'd still scream Mateo. But if you want another option, then he went into some other guys. I don't want to give away the farm. It's great. This is going to be great. Like, I'm reading all these answers, and I'm changing people in my rankings because this is just like, we've done this in the past, but this year I feel like the beat writers, maybe they've done it so many times and seen what it looks like. They're giving amazing answers.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Mateo. Okay. So, yes, Steve Cozzolino, Jorge Mateo. I am clearly in this Jorge Mateo yes mode.
We asked about the new dimensions in Camden Yards too, and he gave an amazing answer on that one.
What? Well, I'll wait to read it. I'm a subscriber, so you know I would highly recommend. Please subscribe to The Athletic. You could not get a better deal. Period.
Matt, I think it's $1 a month right now. That's a
come
special
on, yeah. Come on, folks. Next question I wanted to ask was, do you guys think that these four players of Riley Green, Witt, Torque, and Rutsch might start the season? And maybe even Julio Rodriguez? Might, with the new rules, do you think they might start the season?
I think Rutschman's too hurt, right?
Yeah, I saw something yesterday that said that he could make it back for the opening day.
That Jesse Winker trade didn't make any sense to me. I actually asked the Corey Brock, like, why did you trade for Jesse Winker is one of his questions. Because
and
like
what did they say?
Hold on.
All right. Well, while he's finding that, DVR, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Like, Riley Green's playing every day. Witt is definitely, I mean, if they don't start Witt up in the major leagues, then, you know, that would be a shame. But even Riley Green, I think, could start this year. Like, you could see rookies going from the jump. Is that possible?
It's definitely possible. Witt spent half the year last year at AAA. Rodriguez has not seen AAA yet, right? So there's always that, well, let's just make sure he can hit at the highest possible level, because it was 46 games at AA and 28 games at High A last season. That was the whole year for Julio Rodriguez. He was great at both stops. I think he's going to be good. I think if you bring all these guys up and you said, who do you think is going to be the AL Rookie of the Year? I think I'd actually back Rodriguez, even over Witt. I think Witt's a really good player, but I think Rodriguez is one notch above that. I think the difference for me is I think there's a little bit more swing and miss in Witt's game than there is in Rodriguez right now.
But there's
now.
A lot more playing time in Witt's game, I think. Like, that's my thing, is I think Rodriguez, because of there's so many. I agree with you, Nando. I don't understand that trade necessarily, other than they want to be a really good baseball team. Seiya Suzuki, by the way. Jeez Louise. Oof, very exciting. But do you got it now, Nando?
Yeah, I got it. So the question was basically just very pointedly, why did the club trade for Jesse Winker if they'd already had Rodriguez, Haniger, and Kelenic? And the answer was because he can rake. The Mariners don't have a traditional DH. They rotate players through there to rest them. And we're still not sure Rodriguez will make the opening day roster. But the biggest thing is the Mariners needed offense in the worst way. Winker helps and could help a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And they also needed that third baseman. I mean, they needed somebody to play third base, unless you were going to just say Toro's the guy. Because we know Dylan Moore isn't the answer.
That's our other guy. That's our pandemic guy.
No, yeah, that didn't hold. But the guy Riley Green, man, Riley Green in center field, he's got he runs so strange. If you ever watch him run, he just doesn't look like a ridiculously great athlete. But he's playing center field, and the kid can hit. He can hit. If he is the starting center fielder on day one, to me, it would be either Witt or Riley Green. But I think, for me, I'm saying Bobby Witt is going to be the Rookie of the Year. And all those people who were drafting him in the 80s before look pretty good right now to me. They look pretty good.
I got him on my Tout Wars team is already falling apart, but I got him at least.
That's good.
Yeah.
Why is it falling apart?
It's just a bunch of injuries. It's we've not had good luck. Flaherty was on that team. Jose Barrero obviously was on that team. A couple others there were just a couple other injuries, and then some unfortunate player moves knocked a couple guys down a peg or two. So, wish us luck. This could be a 14th place Tout Wars team.
That's not fun. When is the Mocky draft?
It's the 4th. It's a week after GDD.
Got it. Okay, cool. So we have time to talk about the Mocky. And yep. It's Shelley Verstraete. Very exciting. Very exciting that Shelley got invited into the league. That's really cool.
She did a roundtable awesome. With us. She was great.
She's great, yeah.
We don't have a lot of time. Ian, I don't know if you put these in order of importance for you or if you wanted to grab someone out of the middle. I mean, like Gary Sanchez, are you happy to see him go?
Yes, I'm happy to see him go. I'm very happy to see him go. And from a fantasy perspective, I think it could be the best thing that ever happened for him too. Because he's going to get DH at-bats that he would never get in New York. Or not never, but not going to get him nearly as much as he's going to get him in Minnesota. And I'm delighted as a Yankee fan that he's not behind the plate anymore, because I think he costs the Yankees strikes on a regular basis. But I was curious what you guys think. What do you think? Nando, what do you think about the Sanchez
move? I'm excited. I just keep forgetting that he's like 30. You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, Sanchez is still like 26. So I don't know. I feel like he's kind of proven what he can do. And I want to be honest. I think he's going to be an improvement. And I think all the hate that Sanchez kind of garnered over the last couple of years, Minnesota can wipe off some of that stench, you know, with some tweaks. Actually, one of the questions we got, we're waiting for Aaron Gleeman to answer, is are the Twins going to be tweaking Gary Sanchez a little bit, improving him in many ways? So stand by for that one. His answers aren't in here yet.
I think that's definitely going to happen. I think Sanchez is going to become a better catcher in Minnesota. Also, I saw this great picture of him with Jorge Polanco and Miguel Sano. They all three of them grew up together, I believe, in the Dominican Republic, and like had the dream of playing professional baseball. And now they're all on the same team together. I think that that serves them really well. Miguel Sano also down 25 pounds this year, so you might see a jump there from him. DVR, what do you think of Sanchez? You think he might make the jump?
Yeah, I just think not having that cloud over his head. I mean, you talk about psychology a lot on the show and just the state of mind that a player would be in. I think having people harping on how bad his defense is each and every day is not going to happen, even if his defense is still bad in Minnesota. The tone's going to be different. And I think it's interesting that he is reunited with some friends that he's wanted to play with for a long time as well. I think just an extra bonus. But I think the other difference is having a little more flexibility in the DH role, right? They can play Ryan Jeffers maybe 40 to 50% of the time behind the plate and still keep Sanchez in the lineup as a DH because of the way that team is built. Luis Arraez is sort of a super utility guy that floats all over. He's not a full-time DH, so I think you can justify taking someone out of the lineup to make sure that Sanchez stays in even when he's not catching.
Well, I was going to say before we go, I wanted to, yesterday on the Best on the Board show, it was DVR and I were doing our over-unders with Beller, and we had the Yankees came up. And the more I look at this Yankees lineup, and I know you love the Yankees more than anything in the entire world, but like the more you look at it, especially with Rizzo in there now, it's like three guys could get hurt, and I think they could still win like 93 games. Like you pick three guys and just get them off this roster completely, give them drug suspension or something, and I still think this team could win 92 games. Are you of the same mind that this is just like an incredible like? All the Yankees fans I know are upset we didn't get Carlos Correa. And I'm like, you're insane, man. Kiner Falefa might even be better for this team. They need like a Kiner Falefa on this team.
They still need...
They don't need anything, man. They're incredible.
Yeah, I guess. They need a better manager.
Okay. But you love Boone.
No, I like him. He's a lovely guy. I mean, a lovely man. But the team is just not... The team was so bad last year to watch. Like, you just didn't get the feeling that they were going to do well. Aaron Hicks came out on a podcast and started throwing around, like, we're gonna come angry this year. I think that's a good idea. Like, let's get the energy up. Let's not be let's have a little bit more toughness this season. We'll see. I really like Alex Cora. I think he's such a good manager. He just looks much more relaxed and much more confident. And that really does change the feeling for the players. And Aaron Boone always looks somewhat concerned, sweet guy that he is, that, you know, he's going to get in trouble or something. So I don't know. I 93 wins. Sure. Do I think they're going to win the division? No, I don't. Nope. Definitely not. Not definitely not, but I'd be surprised if they won the division. Something always seems to go wrong. Though, Gary Sanchez not being behind the plate, I think that makes them a better baseball team. Not a better fantasy team, obviously, with Ben Roethlisberger and Kyle Higashioka, but they'll get more strikes, which I think will be helpful.
Fair. DVR, you already gave your analysis on this on Best on the Board.
I'm going to have to listen to that show. That's going to be fun to listen to.
Yeah, man. That's pretty good. You know, we try to do our over-unders, but I think because this got so condensed with the lockout and everything, we may not have an over-under show, unless you want to do a special one. I don't know if people actually want this. I don't know. We'll talk about it off air.
All right.
We got to go. For the man who firmly believes Aaron Boone would never drive up Monteverde, Ian Khan.
That is correct. Or if he did, he would regret it.
For the man who just agreed with me over text to co-found the 21-team Highlander League, Derek Arriva.
After I delete the 5 F-bombs from the show, I can work on that with you.
They weren't mine. They were not mine. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope this is helpful. Good luck if you have drafts this weekend. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Good talk. Good talk.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.